Fever featuring Carl Price, Anthony Minicello, and a full preview of the Four Nations.
Okay, I'm here in the middle of Campbellsfield in Philadelphia under the Benjamin Franklin Bridge. It's episode 9 of White Line Fever, and I'm here with the world's biggest 5'8", maybe the biggest 5'8" in the world ever, Carl Price. You've just had a win over South Africa and hopefully a step closer to qualifying for the World Cup 20-6. How do you feel?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the game wasn't a massive spectacle, but, you know, the main thing is that we got that win and we get to play USA on Sunday. And, you know, and take that from there. And it'd be an absolute massive for Jamaica to qualify for a World Cup.
What about playing standoff, mate? You've got some relatives who play standoff with Greater Plum. How do you find it?
Yeah, mate, it's no issue. Obviously, my brother's a world-class standoff. He's been there to highest level and done it. I'm not really a standoff, but, you know, I'll stand in there when Jamaica need me to whatever position you play. You know, I've done it. I've played in a World Cup Challenge final and played at the 5'8". So, you know, to play it again, it's no bigger.
I made the penalty 16-13. I think we haven't had a penalty count like that in about 40 years. Was it a frustrating game to play? And it was more like 20-all, I think. You know?
No, I'm not too sure. I reckon Steve Ganson might have put a few more penalties out there once or twice before. But no, you know, you look at conditions and, it was sloppy, really rainy, wet underfoot. So there are going to be a lot of penalties. You know, each nation's are getting better. You know, obviously Jamaica's, I think they've been playing for 5 years. South Africa over a few years, you know, so to play that kind of standard and they're coming from amateur, it's a big step up to play international from amateur. So, you know, credit to boys, you know, they've dug in deep and they're doing it as much as they can, you know, down in Jamaica. I'm pretty sure that they're doing it in South Africa. So, you know, to get better, you know, hopefully, you know, over the next couple of years, I'm sure they'll be.
And finally, Carl, just a word on what it's like to come in as a professional from England, and maybe some of the fellas don't know a lot about their background, and then to play in a team with local fellas from Jamaica.
Oh yeah, it's an experience within itself. You know, one of the main reasons why I thought, you know, I've never been over to Jamaica. You know, and obviously my father's Jamaican, and I just thought, you know, why not help a nation out which, you know, which I've come from. You know, I don't know too much about my own heritage. Don't know where, you know, obviously I knew where my grandma and granddad are from. They're obviously from Kingston and came over, I think it was 40s. So to represent Jamaica, it means a lot.
I'll let you get in out of the cold, Carl. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Etihad and the Emirates, and you are with Steve on White Line Fever.
How good is that song? That's The Answer from Ireland with the album Revival, just out last week, and Lynn Jackman sharing lead vocals there. I just can't believe what a great song that is, and I thoroughly recommend that record to you, Revival by The Answer. Well, plenty happening in rugby league. The Four Nations kicking off Friday night with Australia taking on New Zealand at the Halliwell Jones Stadium. Before the break, we heard from Carl Price, who played for Jamaica in a 20-6 win over South Africa last Wednesday in Philadelphia. Unfortunately, the Jamaicans came a cropper on Sunday, losing 40-4 to the United States. United States progressing to the 2013 Rugby League World Cup on Friday night in Avignon. It was England taking on France. It was a 32-18 win to England. But interestingly, the debut there for Jack Reid, Chris Hyington and Rangi Chase. Three players who didn't qualify or arrive in the England team through the traditional route. Jack Reid moved to Australia when he was two. Chris Hyington qualifying under the parent rule, and Rangi Chase qualifying because he has been a resident of the United Kingdom for 3 years. Very controversial selections, three of them. And after the game, I spoke to Rangi Chase.
Yeah, it was it's good to get man of the match, but I don't think I deserved it. You know, we shot ourselves there in the foot there. Could have got some more points flowing there, but we killed ourselves.
Was it in any way a sort of stressful night for you making your debut? Or was it any more nervous than you would be before?
Nah, it's more stressful out there because we know what we're capable of, and we just didn't get to what we're capable of. We just pretty much blew it every time we got some momentum. So. Yeah, but you know, the good thing is we get to work on it. It's our first time with a game situation, so see what coach says.
That combination with Kirk Yeaman, that looks promising for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, we just need to build on it. You know, it's something we can build on over the tournament. So hopefully, we just keep improving.
What about the other new fellas, Jack and Chris? How do you reckon they went?
Yeah, good. You know, everyone went okay, but we got to points where we could have, you know, kicked on, but we just let ourselves down there with forcing errors and stuff like that.
Okay, we're going to keep things pretty brief this week because by the time you hear this, one or both of the opening weekend Four Nations games will already have been played, and there'll be another episode right around the corner in only a few days' time. Now, check us out on Facebook, it's the stevemascord.com Facebook page. Just type in stevemascord.com when you get on Facebook. My Twitter is TheRealStevis, TheRealStevis. Now, I've got a new feature. I've copied this off another podcast I listen to, great podcast called The Rock and Roll Geek Show. If you were to call in and leave a comment or maybe a gig review, maybe you've had a few beers on board, you're at a gig on your own, you've got no one to talk to, now ring this number, +61 280 11 3186. That's +61 280 11 3186. It's a bit of an extension of maybe the Discord column where you can write a comment at the bottom. You can actually, if you're illiterate or something, you can only talk and you can't write, then you can do that over the phone now. Don't forget the website for this, specific to this show, it's whitelinefever.ning.com. And this week's debate question is going to be, should Gareth Widdop be in England's starting side? A lot of people follow the NRL, think Gareth Widdop probably deserves a spot ahead of Rangi Chase. People who follow Super League think the opposite. Okay, earlier this year I was lucky enough to go to the M3 Festival in Maryland and had a chat to Pat Torpy, the drummer from Mr. Big, and after that we're going to have a great song off I reckon one of the best albums of the last 18 months, What If by Mr. Big, and it's a song, American Beauty by Mr. Big, American Beauty by Mr. Big. Then after that we're going to speak to Anthony Minicello. Then after we chat to Mini in Serbia, we're going to be playing one final song, a new track from Steel Panther, and I believe this has got, it's a clean version. I don't know if there's much left if you'd get a clean version of a Steel Panther song, but the song is called 17 Girls in a Row. And aside from that, we'll speak to you after the weekend. Enjoy your weekend.
And the interesting thing with you guys is that you were off the scene for so long. So what is the scene you've returned to, how is it different to the one you left?
Well, people are people everywhere. I mean, you know, it's like, rock and roll is a way of uniting everybody. I mean, an audience in Beijing, once we're up there playing, it doesn't feel that much different than when we're playing here or playing in the UK or playing in Japan. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's just another show. The difference between doing this show, though, is we do an hour. We've been doing 2.5-hour sets. So it's going to go by like that.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's like a whirlwind, you know. It's like jumping into a tornado. You get thrown around a little bit, bang, it's over.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Good night, you know.
Yeah. But Japan was a big sort of motivating factor in you guys getting back together. Is that a fair comment or not?
Yeah, I would say yes and no. Because we got back together because we wanted to. Obviously, we've had a good success in Japan, and they've always kind of stuck with us over the years. But we got together because we wanted to. It's just nice to have a place to go where people were like, wow, great, they're back.
You know? Blindly.
Yeah. But we actually have a lot of fans all over. I mean, you know, with the internet now and email and Facebook and, you know, the whole thing, we hear from people all over the world. And so we're just, it was the fans all over that motivated us.
So when you come back to the States and it's sort of hardcore touring again, does it make you reflect on your decision again? Like, because it would have been a whirlwind initially when you got back together, recorded, go to Japan, whatever. But now you're back here, it's kind of like close to home. And do you reflect on your decision more?
Well, not really. You know, there's no regrets, if that's
not
what you
regrets.
Mean.
Not regrets. I don't mean, you know, you just think about it, you know. Like.
Well, the thing that I think about that's related to this is that I can't believe how fortunate I am to still be able to be doing this, you know. It's a young man's game, and it's really nice to be a part of a band that, to me, I had a major influence in shaping, you know. It's like the four of us, and we actually were able to make a success out of it. And just to be a part of that, and I love the guys I'm in a band with. They're like my brothers, and we've been all over the world. We've done, you know, decades of things that many people would cut off their arm to be able to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just really grateful. I'm just a happy guy, glad to be here.
White Line Fever.
Before that song, we were in Avignon, and the song before that, we were in Philadelphia. Now we're in Belgrade, where Serbia have just been defeated 52-6 by Italy, led by Anthony Minicello. Big Vic Morrow from Manly sent to the sin bin for punching in the second half, and a very courageous Serbian side.
I'm with Anthony Minicello. 52-6, but they were pretty courageous, the Serbians.
Well, they were, yeah. It was a much higher intensity game than the week before, and I think they did well. And you know, it's good to develop these countries, and hopefully one day they can be a strong nation.
Big Vic Morrow in the sin bin.
Yeah, mate. He got a bit of a sin bin there, but they were quite rough with him. So all in all, you know, it was a bit scrappy in the end, but we got the job done.
It's down to you guys in Lebanon now for the World Cup spot. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, we're our main goal is to get to the World Cup and create some history there. Italy have never made the World Cup before, so that's been our goal all along. And next week here will be a big challenge, and we're looking forward to it.
You'll be there to play in it if they make it?
Mate, I hope so. I'd love to play in the World Cup for Italy and you know, hopefully help them get there first.
And, mate, just quickly, what's it like here in Serbia for people who've never been here and maybe will never come here?
Mate, it's... I didn't know what to expect when we got here, but it's a very interesting town, and we've had a look around town, and it's interesting because most of the people speak English as well, so it's easy to get around.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate.